Disintegrating.
Hey.
World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey. Pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you. Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I've been having the craziest thing going on here with my computer. I get up early in the morning. I think I told all of you, I get up early in the morning and do show prep. I'm up pretty early. We're going to do communion here in a second. And sometimes it disappears. Like I sent some really, really good stuff to Spencer. Spencer's running the show. Spencer's down where Barney Fife lives, down in North Carolina. This is the amazing part of technology, isn't it? But as we sit here right now, I do stuff on the computer this morning. I send a link to Spencer down in North Carolina, and he connects me to Joe out in California who does communion. It's unbelievable, isn't it? You know, if the body of Christ could ever learn to effectively work together with the technology that we have before us, it would really be amazing. And so anyway, I haven't figured out all the technology yet, unfortunately, but we're going to do the best we can with it. Joe, you out there? Come on in, brother.
Yes, sir.
Come on in. Lead us in communion. Again, I don't know, folks. If you understand, because I've been saying this for a couple weeks now. We're in a crucible. Pull that up again, Spence. Go there, the word crucible, so people understand. We're in a crucible, and there's so much confusion. And I'm not here to tell you. I figure out what's going on. I don't know. There's a lot of confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. And I think one of the things that we're finding out, or going to continue to find out, if all this stuff is ever really exposed for us, like, can you believe that yesterday they brought before the House a bill that would release all of the representatives who've paid out monetary hush money. You guys saw that, didn't you? They put a bill out there. They're going to release publicly all the people who have paid hush money. And it went down. The bill went down. Do you hear what I'm saying? The bill went down. House of Representatives, Spencer, I'll give you $6 if you can find that, okay? $6 if you can find it. That they introduced a bill saying we're going to expose all the hush money that has been paid to Congress. There it is, isn't it? Right there? Congress accountability. And folks, it didn't pass. Evidently, some of these guys have received have big taxpayer money paid out for sexual harassment, who knows whatever else. And so they introduced a bill to expose it, say, here's all the people who paid it out, and it didn't pass. So that ought to tell us whether you're a good guy or whether you're a bad guy, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, whatever the heck you are, whatever badge you put on your chest, it's all the same. It's all the same. So if we understand that there's really only two sides, wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, that there's good and evil, the spirit of God and the spirit of the Antichrist, that's what we're dealing with. It isn't politics. It isn't politics. And at some point, this stuff is all going to be revealed to us, I believe, to the shaking of our American government society. I think that's what's going on. And so Spencer, go back again, throw back up there again, the crucible. See, the only thing that will make that happen is if righteous men stand up. Righteous men. So a crucible is a severe test. It's a place in which concentrated forces interact to cause or influence change or development. Now, raise your hand if you think that's what's going on right now. And that's going on right now, and it's going on so much that we can't decide who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. That's really where we are. It's crucible. And we could go on and on. I'm not picking sides on what's going on in the Middle East because I sure as hell don't want another war. Trump promised us there would be no more wars. Things change. I don't know. I think it's a good idea, in my opinion. You can have your own opinion. I think it's a good idea that they disarmed Iran. I think that's good. And I'm sorry that a lot of innocent people got killed as a result of it. And I'm sorry that American soldiers are over there dying. But I think it's a good thing that Iran doesn't have an atomic bomb. And I think that's a good thing. Is that what Donald Trump told us he was going to do? No, he said no more wars, didn't he? But the reality of it is situations change. So here's what I'm saying to you again. If we were sitting in his chair, you and I would be shocked at the information that comes to him, some of it honest, some of it not honest, of the number of people who he's trusted who have lied to him, who have sold him out. And I think it's easy for us to sit back and watch the mainstream media or watch whatever podcast you want to and think we understand what's going on behind the scenes. Joe, I haven't forgotten you. Hang on. So the House kills an effort to release all congressional sexual misconduct and harassment reports. So evidently there were some clean guys in Congress who said, let's show everybody how much y'all guys been bought off. How many of you have taken taxpayer money and given it to buy off people that you have sexually harassed, abused, who knows what else it's going, and it failed. By the way, John Fetterman voted for it. that big goofy guy from Pennsylvania, he voted for it. So friends, look, we have to be very, very careful with the two-card Monty that they're playing against us. Good guys looking like bad guys and bad guys looking like good guys. Because at this point, it is so confusing because we're in this crucible that we are so close to a broad expose of what's really been going on behind the scenes that they're all running for cover. And here's what I mean by that. If you let's say you went to Congress 10 years ago, elected to Congress. And you go to Congress and you got great intentions and you get there. And once you get there, they take you and they put you in a room. The leaders put you in a room and say, hey, here's the way it's going to be, dude. A lot of money available for you here. We're going to take care of all your needs. We're going to take everything. But you're going to toe the party line, bud. You're going to toe the party line. And if you don't toe the party line, you're not going to be around here very long. And so a guy goes there with great intentions and about 6 months in, he realizes how the game's being played. He looks around. He sees it really is no Republican Democrat. It's a two-card Monty being played back and forth. He understands it. And so he just falls in line and becomes part of it. He just falls in line and becomes part of it. And that's why we have what appears to be the two sides. And it's all fraudulent. So we're in the middle of this severe test. And there's a lot of stuff that's going to come out. Because there's a lot of people compromised on both sides, women, on all sides. Sometimes I think there's more than two sides. There's a lot of people compromised on all sides. And it just continues on. This is all going to be flushed out. All going to be flushed out. So we're in the crucible, baby. What a time to be alive. So I want to say this and then clear the air here a little bit. I can't make it any more clear that the choice that we have in an American government right now is or was Donald Trump or Joe Biden, whoever they threw up. Unfortunately, we live in a two-card option. You can vote third party and cover your conscience if you want to. But the war is between those two parties, isn't it? And so we can get as mad as we want to and undermine the guy that's in there because we don't trust him, and I understand why you don't. when the alternative is that lady that they tried to get in there. And understand this, which one do you think is most likely to be manipulated and controlled? See, say what you want. Donald Trump doesn't need money. He doesn't need money. Is he making money? He might be. I mean, I don't know. All of his investments. I don't know. He don't need any money. He's 80-some years old. He's got more money than he could ever spend in 20 lifetimes. And if we think he's in it for money, you don't need any more money. He could be laying on the beach, playing golf every day. Again, not a solid, I love the guy endorsement of Trump. But you better know this. Bible says God raises up kings. Donald Trump is president of the United States with the approval of Almighty God. Now, is it for good or is it for bad? We don't know that, do we? And the reason we don't know that is because the whole process is so muddied. We don't know who the good guys are. We don't know who the bad guys are. We understand that maybe even George Soros and some of those lefties, maybe they own some Republicans. Could that be? Could that be? They're calling. I'm just watching what's going on. I think Thomas Massie is a pretty straight shooter, and they're calling Thomas Massie a traitor. Folks, Be careful. So for those of you out there who think that this is Donald Trump country, you don't understand anything about me. But I know this Bible tells us to pray for our leaders, that Donald Trump is in there with the approval of Almighty God, and whether it's for bad or for good yet, we don't know. Maybe if the Christian environment in America changed, maybe we would get real Christian leaders. But see, as we've talked about over the last couple of days, 42,000 different denominations, our Christians don't even agree. They don't even agree on what the Bible says. The scripture says, can two walk together lest they agree? We don't agree. Republicans don't agree with other Republicans. That's why they call them rhinos. And then they have the Christian caucus. And it's a house divided. The Republican Party is a house divided. Democrats, I don't even know what they are. They seem to be for every unbelievably stupid thing anybody could ever be for. But is the Republican Party much better? I don't know. I'm on a rant here. Let me get off that rant. So I just want you guys out there to understand where I stand on this thing. I pray for the president. Do you? I pray for the president. I pray for him because he's God's man. And I pray God would be merciful with whatever it is he's doing, that guy. And it's not, folks, come on. It ain't Republican, Democrat. That's just what they've sold us. I wish I could find that video I was looking for. Joe got up real early this morning out there. Hey, Frick, let me stop a minute. Pass the Salt Ministries, Coach Dave Live. We're in somewhat of a crucible too, and I don't mean that we're going under. I don't mean that we're going broke or whatever that would mean. But I just want you to know that. If you were sitting in my seat or with my wife, if you were sitting in our seat, you would be amazed at the friendly fire. You guys know what friendly fire is? Friendly fire is you're surprised that the people you thought were in your huddle are firing at you. And those of you listening out there, if you think I'm talking about you, go ahead and think that. I just want you all to know that there's a lot of friendly fire, a lot of friendly fire. And a lot of it has to do with, again, personal agendas. Hey, I got my agenda. I have a personal agenda, and it's called Coach Dave Live. This is a platform I built. I built this platform, the Lord through me. And there are a lot of confusion out there. Satan is the author of confusion, and he's doing whatever he can to try to knock us off course. So those of you who have time and want to, I just ask that you just pray for Coach Dave Live, Michelle and I, and this thing's real, man. This thing is real. A house divided against itself. What does that mean? Well, you got a house divided, but against itself means friendly fire. Bang, 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 bang. And a house divided against itself can't stand. Can't stand. So I just want you to be aware, understand, because you know what? We touch on some pretty unpopular issues here. 42,000 different denominations. We don't all agree. We could say that we do, but we don't. We don't all agree. And so understand that we're doing the best we can to play it as straight as we can, as honest as we can, as righteously as we can. But I'm here confessing to you, I don't know. There's a lot of disinformation. A lot of disinformation. So rather than getting mad at us or getting mad at whoever, guard your own heart, man. Guard your own heart. Joe, come on in, brother. Thanks for getting up out there, Joe.
Thank you, Coach. The reading this morning, everyone, is 1 Peter 1, 18 to 25. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Amen.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again with gratitude in our hearts for this wonderful and unconventional congregation of believers and students of you and your word and what you have done and what you are doing in our lives. We are grateful, and we are amazed at what you've done, Lord. We truly can't comprehend the creator of all things, the creator of the universe, of all creation, giving his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's really unfathomable, Lord. Academically, we believe it. And in our hearts, we may believe. Many of us do believe it. And we need to believe it, Lord, for salvation. But I don't think we really comprehend it. And we remember that This is the meal. This can be the meal that heals. The communion is something we've been told to do in remembrance of what's done for us. And we know that it's a holy moment, so we ask that you forgive our sins and our transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight. And we realize it's our opportunity to participate in the new covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ with us. And in this prayer, Lord, I bring to our hearts what's happening in the world right now. And we pray that these military actions don't spread, that they are quickly resolved, and the people of Iran are freed from one of the most hostile regimes the planet has ever seen, brutally murdering up to 50,000 people in the last couple months of its own people, Lord. Good people, many of whom worship you. It is not a free nation. It is the opposite of free. But it has now the ability to become free. So that's what we ask, Lord. We ask you do that, and will you save the innocent, and you give those who have been on the other side the opportunity to repent and get on their knees and change their lives and join for truth and freedom. That will save many lives when that happens in abundance, Lord. We ask that you save and that you protect our men who are and women who are there, and all the other nations involved in this. Protect the pilots, watch the mechanics, have them do everything perfectly so there's no malfunctions and no accidents, and just put your hand over everything, Lord, and your guardian angels around, and let your will be done there, Lord. Let your will be done. And as freedom is coming there, I'm brought again to Colorado, Lord. Please give your protection, your rest, your love to Tina Peters. Comfort her. Give her health, strength, endurance, and at the right moments, righteous anger, Lord. And keep her safe, and let her also be emerging to be free now. And we ask that any who are traveling be kept safe in their travels, their families traveling, keep them safe, and help us to remember we are your ambassadors in these days. We are not our own anymore. We are your ambassadors, and help us to surrender more of our lives to you that we may truly be free. And so we thank you, and we bless this bread and drink representing your body and blood that you sacrificed for us so many years ago. And we are grateful. And thank you for communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it and break it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks, Joe. You know, words mean things and they pop out. I just had a word pop out at me. Drink ye all of it. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some. I'm sowing this word again during communion. People are attacking, are telling him, tell him to stop it. He is sowing this word.
Okay. All right. I'm about ready to shut down the chat. I've had it. Those sowing discord in the chat during communion, shame on you. And you know who you are. I can't believe what the hell's going on here. This just amazes me. It's just amazing.
Do it, coach. Shut it down.
Well, I don't want to punish everybody for the actions of a few. This is unbelievable. Okay. My wife sees it. She's the one that came down the multi-million dollar escalator to my studio and said they're arguing in the chat during communion. Shut the chat down, Spence. Shut it down. Hey, Spence, pull up for me. Here's what I want. I want this show to be uplifting. Oh, I hear. Well, I don't know. I'm going to defend myself. Hey, pull up Mullen.
Yeah, stay on it, coach.
Huh? Mark Wayne Mullen. By the way, they just moved him to, what did he just become? He just got promoted to, I don't know.
Christy Gnome Spot, whatever it was.
Yeah, he took over Christy Gnome Spot. Mark Wayne Mullen, who is a senator from Oklahoma. And folks, I saw this yesterday. I hope this is it. And this is just so simple. I hope it's what I think it is. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I'd saved it this morning. Spencer, listen to the simplicity of what this guy says.
I have a book here in front of me called Our Skin that has been endorsed by NACI. And I'm going to read exactly what this book says. You guys might find it interesting. A long time ago, way before you were born, a group of white people made up an idea called race. They sorted people by skin color and said that white people were better, smarter, prettier, and they deserved more than everybody else.
Freeze it.
This would be taught.
This is a children's book being used in America's public schools. Go ahead.
If we socialize our pre-K system, this would be taught.
Do you disagree with that findings in the book?
1,000%. Really? How about we teach Jesus loves me? How about this? In teaching Jesus loves the little children, the lyrics go red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in our sight. Now, which one would you think would be better? I'll ask everybody on the panel, which is better to teach? This? That is a story that was made up to teach our kids, three-year-olds who have no idea what race is, now all of a sudden is being taught that white people said this as a truth. Someone pointed me that this being a truth, that white people developed race, that white people developed that, that all of a sudden that was our word that we developed. By the way, I'm Cherokee, Native American. I think we have experienced a little bit of racism before in my life, Chairman.
Senator Mullen.
So I ask everybody on the panel, which one is better to teach? This or the Jesus Loves Me lyrics? Ma'am, I'll start on here. Just tell me which one. I don't have time for an explanation.
What I'll tell you, Senator Mullen, is that what children in these early years develop their identity.
I didn't ask the question. The question is, which one is better? I'm just asking which one is better.
Why she doesn't have a husband.
My question is this.
She will answer if she sees fit.
Which one is better?
It's important that children's identity and language and culture are recognized.
That's not answering my question.
And that's what creates strong executive function.
If you don't want to answer my question, that's fine. Let's move on down the panel. Which one is better to be taught? This book or the Jesus Loves Me lyrics? That says everybody's skin doesn't matter. They're all precious in his sight.
I think it's important to teach that all children are seen and valued for who they are.
But when you teach this, don't you think that other people start saying that white kids are to blame?
No. I think it's important.
It's exactly what they're going to teach. It's exactly what it is, ma'am.
I disagree. First, it is important that we teach Jesus. Jesus is what we teach.
So which one is
but
better?
But the reality is...
So do you think this is
could
the
she
right
answer
thing?
The question, please?
No, I don't want reality. I'm asking the question, which one is better? That is exactly... That's exactly what it is.
Got it on tape.
Misspoke. So what I'm saying is which one is which?
Huh. How about that? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children. Are we teaching that in our schools? Or are we teaching race? Wow. He's now ahead of what is defense? Wow. I got a million things to throw up. I'm going to open it up. No, hang on. I got so much good stuff somewhere. Come on in, Kevin. Open phones Friday.
Mark Wayne Mullen is of Cherokee lineage, and he was a collegiate wrestler and very good at it and coached wrestling, but he's now Trump appointed him to replace Kristi Noem as a Homeland Security chairman. Right. So now one thing I can tell you about Mark Wayne Mullen. He's a pretty humble guy most of the time, but once he gets his pants in a wad, he's a handful. Seriously, Coach, he is a handful. He's not afraid to, but he will not back down. So,
amen. So he's got a promotion, but I just think the simplicity of that message is unbelievable, isn't it? Just the simplicity of it, and. Again, you guys always know where I go. I always go back to the pulpit. What we have black churches, Lutheran churches, Methodist churches, non-denominational churches, Pentecostal churches, churches of God in Christ, churches of God in Christ. You with me? Divide. We continue to play into this same divide. It brings me great frustration. Go ahead, Martin.
Thanks, Coach. Wonderful presentation. Psalm 133 out of our Bible says this: "Behold, how good and pleasing it is when brothers dwell in unity." Thanks, mm-hmm. Coach.
All right. Yep. Not uniformity. Unity. And can I tell you something? The Christian world is unbelievably divided. It's unbelievably divided. And we say, well, Coach, religion and politics don't mix. Folks, politics is religion. Politics is religion. It's living out. Hey, Spence, let me see what's wrong. Pull this up there, Spencer. Moral law. It says moral law. Pull this up there. Politics is religion. Religion is politics, friends. Can you get that, Spence? R.J. Rushdoony. I don't know if you guys know him. He said this. Laws express views of justice or moral order. And laws are thus an establishment of religion. Laws do not establish a church, but rather a religion. And they have told us that there's a separation between the church and state. Keep your morality out of politics, and then their morality goes in there. Do we understand this yet? And I can't, for the life of me, can't figure how a nation full of Christians, pull it up, Spencer, what percentage of Americans are Christians, claim to be Christians? How can a national majority of Christians be losing 62 to 69%? Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. It's the oldest trick in the book. And I hate to tell you this, we're all guilty of it too. I can start a fight in here right now on theology. Somebody give me a thumbs up. You know that to be true. I can start a fight on theology. To the point where, can two walk together lest they agree? People don't come in. That's somebody emailed me the other day. Coach, it's your anger. You ain't never seen me angry. That's my coaching voice. I'm not angry. Oh, my God. Jeff Klein, come on in. You ain't seen anger before, baby. Angry. Coach, you're so angry. You don't show the love of the Lord. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, baby. Oh, my God. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, how about the sicko in Texas? The apostate idiot that just beat out the black woman in the primary, and he's trying to say God is transgender, blah, blah, all this nonsense.
Binder, he believes in the, I saw all that stuff.
But 50% of the fake churchgoers down in Texas will vote for that idiot.
Jeff, why does that happen? Why does that happen?
Because they're
That's a question for anybody. Why does that happen?
Because
why the voting divide within, just even within your local church? You would think if you're all in the same church that 90% of you would be voting the same way. That's probably not true.
Well, it's all in the book, Pagan Threat, by Pastor Lucas Miles. It's that paganism and the Wiccans, all the evil. It's crept in our churches.
That's right. That's right. Divide and conquer, right? See, go over here, Spencer. Key findings on American Christianity. Look, I know I talk about this all the time. My wife would talk about my bad breath until I started using mouthwash. Then she'd shut up. But if I get up every morning with stinky breath, she's probably going to say something about it. Right? Roughly 27-29% of Americans are now religiously unaffiliated. They're nuns. They've had it with church. Hey, I'm not real smart, but isn't 29% almost a third? Isn't that almost a third? The Protestants and Catholic, so there's a split. Research data shows 40% of U.S. adults are Protestant, 19% are Catholic. After years of sharp decline, the percentage of Christians who remain relatively stable since 2009, according to Pew Research. Pew Research found that 41% of Americans are white Christians, while 25% are Christians of color. Can somebody help me? What's a Christian of color? Can somebody help me out there? What is a Christian of color?
A Christian.
I don't think
a Christian of color is a Christian.
I don't think I've ever seen a colored Christian. What? Generation, younger generations are less likely to identify as group. Really? So here's a battle that's before us. And you guys would agree with me. There ain't even unity in here. There ain't even unity in here. Everybody's got an answer. Everybody's got an answer. Come on, Jack.
Yep. Back and back and back and back. Don't you know, before Obergefell and abortion and contraception, there was this thing called the 19th Amendment. Because originally, a family voted. The man voted for the family. And now we don't bother with family. We had to give the women the vote so that we could have a divided household. How's that for division?
The old devil knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Divide and conquer, oldest trick in the books. You understand what Jack just said? Oh, man, how things change, right? Women's suffrage, giving the women the right to vote. Used to be only a man could vote. The man voted for the family. And so we live in a culture and a society now. Women should be able to vote. Stop it. But we live in a culture and a society now where woman may vote one way and a man may vote the other way. Same marriage. Same in a marriage. House divided. It's a house divided. Hey, Spence, I don't know what I was looking for here. What was I looking for? Oh, I know this. Hey, Spence, Google real quickly. What percentage of Americans are pro-life? Oh, I'm sorry, Spencer. What percentage of Christians are pro-life? 53%. Do you believe that, folks? This is the church. 50%, 53% of Americans, church-going, identify as pro-life. However, this percentage varies significantly by denomination, frequency of attendance, and roughly 72% of white evangelical Protestants believe abortion. So 72% of white evangelical Protestants, only 70. Can you be a Christian and believe in abortion? Can somebody explain to me how you can be a Christian and believe in abortion? Killing little babies created in the image of God. How could any Christian be pro-choice? Unbelievable.
Amen.
Mary Beth, come on in. Problem's us.
Coach, I was a Christian and not pro-abortion, but I believed the lies at one point about rape and incest. But the Lord has convicted me, and I now will stand up passionately for life at Amen. All stages.
Because Mary Beth, you know that a child is a child regardless of how it was conceived.
Yep, Dr. Seuss himself said it. So, but I can't remember how he said it.
So how could the church possibly be in this situation? How could they possibly be? And is America under judgment because we keep killing those little people created in the image of God? Is there judgment upon the church? You see what's going on, the division, the arguing. The I'm right, you're wrong.
Coach, God hates the shedding of innocent blood. He hates the shedding of innocent blood.
Yeah, but Mary Beth, it's not a person. So he's okay with it. It's not really a person. And by the way, she could have got raped, you know. So God's for murdering babies if it was a rape. Okay, I got it. Jack, you still want back in? I'm kind of all over the place this morning.
I want to bring up a little different statistic. If you go back to 1858, how many people were anti-slavery? Probably about 40%. In 8 years, they abolished slavery. How many people are anti-abortion? And it's been 50 years that we've been killing babies and we can't stop it. What's wrong with that picture here?
Well, we know. I feel so bad because all the information I pulled up today has disappeared. I don't know. Ray, come on in, Ray.
Hey, Coach, you know what's ironic when you were showing Massey with the talking about Jesus loves the little children of the world?
Yeah.
The story behind that was in Pennsylvania right after the Civil War. 2 million people landed in Pennsylvania, slaves, people coming in from all over the place, all different races and colors. And they went to this church Wooston had, and he noticed that the adults were taking their children that were all sitting together and taking them and separating them from each other because they didn't want to rub shoulders with each other. So he wrote that song towards the adults as a message, and now we take it as a children's song. Interesting, some of that stuff.
Isn't that something? It's not wasn't a children's song at all, huh? It was a song to the adults. And so everywhere you look, right, they divide us by what? Race, color, whatever. That ain't good, man. That ain't good. Mark French, come on in, Mark. First time, I think. Welcome. Got to unmute, Mark. Excuse me. You figure it out? Well, you keep poking. You keep poking to.
Are you? Can you hear me?
There you go. There you go. Now we got you.
Yeah, Dave. I work, so I'm
okay.
I'm
good for you.
I may be out of context in my comments, but I'm over in Montana, and I've been listening to you for a year or so, and I find Coach Dave Live the only place where I can go find some truth. And I so much appreciate the fact that you lay yourself out there and say the hard things. You know, have you ever heard of a coach by the name of Bobby Knight? Bobby Knight.
Brat, by the way, Mark, the brat from Oroville, Ohio. Yes, he's from Ohio. Go ahead.
Bobby Knight, he's a harsh guy.
Yep.
But he would take a man and he would pull the potential out of that man and make him an awesome basketball player. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. He would tell that man, you can do this. And so get out there and do it. Get off your butt. Get out there. And
Mark, not only you can do this, you will do this.
Exactly. And you are not one of these lightweight coaches little boy, do whatever you want to do. And we're just going to play the game and we're not going to keep score. None of that.
Yep.
Coach Dave says, we're going to win and we're going to win with this team.
Amen, brother.
And so get off your butt and do what I know you can do and you want to do, but you don't have enough guts to do it. So thanks. I have to look clean across this nation to find somebody with some guts. There's 14 of them in this town that are absolutely lightweight wusses. And I don't want to have anything to do with them. Thanks. Appreciate it. Keep it up.
Thanks, Mark. Thank God that encourages me. Where did you say you were, brother?
I'm in Plains, Montana.
Is that unbelievable, folks, that we'd be sitting here and somebody in Montana?
I would like for you and your team to come over here and I'll team up with you and we can do a presentation like you've been talking about. Let's
get it on the calendar, Mark. Put your contact information in the chat and I'll follow up with it or however you want to. Or my email. It's probably easier if you email me, Mark, and it's ptsalt@gmail.com. Let's do it, man.
I've emailed you a couple of times. I got to learn how to do that thing.
Okay, Mark, I'll check. I'm not making an excuse. I get a lot of emails. And then you know, I feel really, really bad because, like, geezy, criminy. Our buddy John, I won't say his last name, just because in Wisconsin, he said, Coach, I was down in Ohio. I forgot all about it. He had come to an event down there 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I forgot all about it. And so just a lot of people come and go, right? So,
hey, Dave, one more.
Don't think you don't matter. It's just there's a lot of information up here, bud.
More comment. The elections here from we're sign-ups in, 17th of February through March. And I go to multiple different churches because I travel and I work and I go to different churches at different times of the week. I was at three different churches during this entire sign-up period for elections. Not one mention ever of anybody getting involved in the civic arena and serving as a Christian. Not one mention of it in any of the churches are dead. They're useless. And they're actually worse than that because they take up space.
That's right. Well, they give a false sense of doing something. That's what it is. They give a false sense. You go to church and you feel like you did something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Limbaugh thing, the Rush Limbaugh back in the 90s was a pop-off valve, like on the top of your water.
Sir.
You know, Rush Limbaugh is doing it. Rush Limbaugh is saying it. So I don't have to do anything. The church is saying, this is what the church is supposed to do. It's blaspheming the name of Jesus. The churches are blaspheming the name of Jesus because the people that go into the churches, you know, they don't read their Bibles. They just listen to the pastor and the pastor. Yeah. This is what Christianity is. You know what Christianity is? It's Coach Dave Live and all you guys on that chat. That's what Christianity is. And people are offended by it. Of course they're offended by it because it's the truth.
Amen. So, Mark, look, here's what I say. I don't criticize. I don't say other people aren't Christians. I just say we're the SWAT team, man. We're the frontliners here. I don't have enough time worrying about somebody else's Christianity. I know what the Lord's called me to do, and praise the Lord, others have that same vision.
I really appreciate Dave, and I really appreciate the rest of the guys on the chat, and praise the Lord for you. You're the only outlet for truth.
Sounds to me like we're coming to Montana here, huh?
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Amen, yeah. Mark. Thanks. And by the way, David Arthur, come on in, David. So here's David Arthur, as he's probably going to tell us here right now. The church doesn't want anything to do with him coming in and talking about homosexuality, transgenderism, grooming. They don't want anything to do with it, do they?
Nothing at all. God bless Ray, who has been like pushing. What's really ironic is the actual brother that reached out to me in the beginning to start with, that offered me the invitation, that actual congregation has went silent and has kind of rescinded their invitation.
So they invited you. They invited you, and you accepted. And then when they announced it to the people, we got some pushback, and it's kind of gone silent.
Yeah. So the brother went to his leaders, and he presented it. They said okay. So all they were waiting for me was for a date. I gave them a date, and he went to them and said, "This is the date." And it all changed. But it's not about me. This was meant for him. This is what happens with all of these brothers, these deacons, these men that are part of these congregations that go to their leadership and they say, "Hey, look, we got to have this guy or that girl. We have to have them come in and talk." It's not about me. It's about them getting to see what they're sitting under.
Yeah, but David, here's what I hope you understand this. I hope you understand this. They won't have you in because they know the homos will come up and protest. And
oh, yeah.
They don't want to mess. They don't want that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was Ray reached out to a building yesterday, and their response to him was, "Well, thanks for letting us know about him, but he won't work for us."
I bet
the truth don't work for us. You know what I mean? But amen. And so I amen. Just wanted to say two things. As one who has turned into a pincushion from friendly fire over the last 15 years. Proverbs 17:3 says the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. And Proverbs 27:21 says, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. So we are under friendly fire of misplaced praise. Wow. I want everyone in this queue to know that you are being tested by the praise of others. And that can be a crucible. It can reveal itself as arrogance. It can also reveal itself as a humble character. But everybody, please, and I mean everybody, examine your hearts. Examine yourselves before the Lord. Because you are not, none of you have arrived. None of us have arrived.
Yep, amen. I know I haven't. I'd like to get there at some point. Amen, Dave. Amen. Amen. Randy. Randy hadn't been in here yet. Did I get to Ray? Did you get in, Ray? I let you come in once, didn't I? Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine.
He did.
Okay, Coach, at what point do we need to keep casting our pearls before this church institution? Okay, my next point, and yeah, God bless the brother in Montana, Coach. I hope that's a testament to the sponges around the country who are hearing and really coming out of the church. I think we should hear him as a testament to who was hearing us. So, Coach, I watched Tucker interview yesterday, and hour and 15 minutes or so, but within 15 minutes of his monologue, he brought you from 30 AD, Jesus, his resurrection and ascension, he brought you all the way to 70 AD with just a narrative, a really good, he's good, he's very brilliant, there is no doubt, but okay, and then he brings you through history, through the temple, and he shows, he's making the point, what is the third temple? And he brings you all the way to now and how that the Christian Zionists are trying to use the temple to get their agenda done. And he abolishes that argument. Coach, in 15 minutes, he abolished the argument of the necessity of the third temple. And that's what all the Christian Zionists and the American Zionist churches are working towards. And it's what they're trying to take the military into this bondage.
We're the third temple, Randy. We're the third temple.
It was Jesus. He said, tear that thing down, every stone, and I'll build it back in 3 days. It's yep. Obviously him. But guess what, Coach? Peter teaches we are the stones of the temple, and he's assembling us a spiritual temple. So we know that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. How is this not connectable? It's so, but because the churches have taught a lie for so long, it's. But here's my point, Coach. Tucker, with his huge platform, and he's getting bigger, Coach, and Candace Owens, little Catholic girl, way, don't know much them. Anything.
They're attacking both of those folks too, man.
But look at all the other ones that's coming up, Coach. I'm telling you, the church is going to, they're not going to hear, the institutions will not hear the message, okay? We'll be here for them later when they come out of their stupor. But, Coach, we need to be part of someone that's planting seed. That's why Coach Dave Live, I'm with Coach Dave Live, because you're planting seed that will advance the kingdom. The institutions cannot, the pastor system cannot with what it's got. So we have to quit casting our pearls before swine. We need to get David Arthur on a big platform, and he'll have thousands of followers in just one day, Coach.
He would.
The institution, we need to step away and let it die. And when they see their stupor, they will start asking questions. That's love, Coach. Let's don't keep beating a dead dog.
Amen. Amen, Randy. Ray.
I'll get a couple minutes. I'll do it quick. But, this year, remember Kelly, where we had the retreat at his place?
This is his
church, and he's going to allow David Arthur there. So we got one open door so far. I also reached out to all the churches in our area for a solemn assembly. I don't know if you can see it. It looks blurry. Next week. And here's a response I got from one church. Have a great time. So Bluff View is in Arpin, which is 15 miles away. We are focused on winning the lost and making disciples in our 10-mile radius. Oh. Therefore, we will bow out. Blessings. That's your kidding? Church.
Are you
Mark, kidding? You got it, Mark.
Do you think they're really evangelizing within 10 miles? You really think they are? Huh? Wow. Wow.
10 feet.
10 feet. 10 feet. Mary Beth. Is your hand stuck, Mary Beth?
There it no, is. There it's go. Not stuck. God, I forgot what I was going to say. I'm going to have to come back on later.
You got 30 seconds, huh? You got 30 seconds. Okay. Well,
no,
okay.
I can't remember. Okay. I wrote it down.
Okay. It's okay. So, we're in the mix of it, man. We're in the mix of it. And, I think God is doing something far greater and bigger than what we understand is going on. And I think for the most part, the church has been passive, non-aggressive, hasn't engaged. And we know that the Bible tells us that the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the church to show up. We're in a crucible, and now is the time for the church to be the church. It's time for the church to be the church. And we have a message here. It's not about Coach Dave. It's about engaging. I think of Mark Harrington and Flip Bennett and Operation Save America and Rusty Thomas and the guys in here who are starting to get involved. It's our time, man. It's our time. Our time. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday. Hey, oh my goodness, I gotta. Hey, real quickly, Monday night, we're gonna have a group prayer vigil. I'll get you more information. Be expanded at 7 o'clock on Monday. We're gonna all come together and pray. My wife just yelled at me. No, we won't. I'll be in Marietta. That's why I got a wife. We're gonna organize one. See ya.